This time, would you open your Bibles to the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, and I will be reading the second chapter. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And God's word as follows. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stayed me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose, by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green face, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth me among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethel. As ends the reading of God's holy word, may he bless this portion to our lives for our spiritual nourishment today. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Solomon, or the Song of Solomon, is a beautiful book. It is a love story that describes in intimate detail the relationship of a man and a woman in love, a Shulamite maiden and a young shepherd boy. The language, very descriptive, and sometimes the book is avoided because of the embarrassing situations that may arise as you read through each chapter. Perhaps that's the reason why some ancient Jewish rabbis would not let young men read the book until they were 30 years old. Now, if we think of sex as something dirty, we may snicker at the graphic language and depictions that come in this book. However, the Song of Solomon is a beautiful book if we see and understand sex as pure and holy as it came from the hand of our Creator, to be enjoyed, to be held sacred between a man and a woman in lifelong union. And the second chapter that we just read gives us a sample, then, of the book's beauty. Some people may remember this book especially because of the beautiful description of spring. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear in the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with tender grapes have a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Springtime. Huh? Springtime, when a young man's fancy turns to thoughts of so forth and so on. Others may remember this chapter as a love poem. Like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Sustained me with cakes of raisins, refreshed me with apples, for I am lovesick. Oh, my dove, in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, your face lovely. No more beautiful words can be found to describe the anticipation and consummation of the love relationship. However, this morning, our focus, our attention will focus on verse 15 and the foxes. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now, I trust that focusing on this particular verse isn't a disappointment. But, you know, after all, the lovers, the vineyard, and the foxes are all joined together. And it's the lovers in this vineyard who say, take us the foxes. Catch us the foxes. Now, although the Song of Solomon is rich in symbolism, it does not take away then from the moving and intimate description of love that is referred to in its verses. After all, if the symbolism isn't beautiful, then the thing signified isn't beautiful. But it is. The love that Solomon has for this Shulamite maiden was rich and deep, real. And the inspired author rises to the exalted heights as he reflects on his love for her. Now, our Solomon is not simply writing a marriage manual here, although it certainly can be that. He is writing to the church. And hence, the description of his love for this maiden and her love for him symbolizes for us the spiritual love which Christ has for his church, and the love that the church has for Christ. And this, of course, is in full harmony with the rest of Scripture. Perhaps the most well-known reference is found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. Gave himself for her. But here now, we see these two lovers walking together in the vineyard. And we hear them speak of the vines and grapes. Now, you'll recall that Christ often spoke concerning the vineyard. The vineyard representing the church in the midst of the world. Listen to these words, John 15, 1 and 2. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now clearly, then, the church is like the vineyard. And Christ is concerned about the well-being of the vine, and more particularly, of the tender grapes that are on the vine. Now, it doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to realize that the tender grapes represent children, young people, those not yet spiritually mature. And since it is springtime, those grapes are tender. They're just beginning to form from the bud. And they are especially sensitive then to chill. They can be easily torn loose from the vine. And so they have to be protected. Protected carefully. And this also applies to the youth within the covenant of grace. The youth are tender of faith. That's no disgrace. Simply a spiritual fact that we do well to recognize. Young people have not yet been tried and tested in their faith. And times they can be persuaded to follow some different ideas. You know, Satan can really glamorize the lust of the flesh, portraying all sorts of pleasures in the cesspool of sin, especially to the youth who are impressionable and sensitive to that wide world that's opening up before them. Tender grace. And as these lovers then walk together through the vineyard, lo and behold, a little fox scampers out ahead of them. And this reminded the owner, his lovers, that something had to be done about these little foxes, lest they spoil the vines and thereby destroy the tender grapes. And as they sported in the vineyard, they would dig up at the roots, tear at the branches, and certainly damage them, the potential of having mature grapes. Now, I suppose those little foxes looked anything but dangerous. You know, little fox has all sorts of appeal, looking so cute. Reminds me sometimes of the kit fox that we see around here. And you know, many have been tempted to try and make pets out of little foxes. However, you know, appearances can be deceiving. And beneath that innocent-looking exterior, there is a sly and a treacherous little animal. And Christ, you recall, Christ exposed the true nature of the fox when he referred to Herod, who threatened to kill him as what? That sly fox. That fox. Luke 13:32. Yeah. So, within Christ's vineyard, there are little foxes. And these little foxes are a threat to the well-being of the tender grapes. Now, in general, these little foxes represent anything that appears to be innocent and yet can have a deadly influence on those who are babes in the faith, as well as those two who are not yet spiritually mature or all that learned in the scriptures. Now specifically, what might these little foxes be? Well, you're aware that there are lots of false views, and lots of false views circulating within the sphere of the Church of Christ here in this earth. Perhaps you've read about some of them in a book, magazine, or you've encountered them in school, college. Perhaps your teacher showed you the errors of others, or because the teacher herself or herself advocated such. Perhaps your parents or pastors have shown you some of these views at home, or in a Bible study, or confirmation school. Now, the striking thing about error as it relates to our faith is that often it doesn't seem all that bad. Particularly if you're young and have been influenced by the liberal and permissive attitude in which we live today. That's what makes so much like little foxes. For example, think of creation versus evolution. And how many theistic evolutionists claim that it doesn't make that much difference whether we say God created in 6 24-hour days or that he created by means of some process that took a long time. Millions, maybe even billions of years. What's so important about how we got here? Huh? As long as we're doing the right thing now that we're here. What's so bad about that? It's going to all come out in the wash eventually anyway. So, you know, why spend that much time worrying about it? Have you heard that guy talk? Have you heard that reasoning sometimes? Huh? Well, you got to understand. You have to understand, beloved, especially young people, you have to understand what's going on here. And what's at stake? To begin with, the very Word of God itself. It's called into question. It's inspiration. It's infallibility. And the creation of man by divine fiat, which simply means that God spoke and it was so. Or the original perfection of Adam. The historicity or the realness of the Garden of Eden. The events of man's fall into sin. And ultimately, our whole salvation from the fall. You know, the same is true of so many doctrinal truths. Was Eve created from Adam's rib? Really? Did she actually talk to a serpent? Were the miracles real? Is man really incapable of doing any good and prone to all evil? Was Christ born really of a virgin? Was the cross necessary to make satisfaction for sin? Now, I put these in question form deliberately because more and more people are questioning them. And yes, denying them. Boldly they'll insist that the Bible's not reliable for history. That man is not completely corrupt. And yes, that Christ died for everyone. Because God loves everybody. Now, those are the kind of lies that are presented in subtle ways. And they become like little foxes. Now, again, you know, many think that we shouldn't get so technical over these differences. Yeah, what's at stake? It's a little fox. And little foxes get bigger and more destructive. Now, certain sins don't always seem so bad. Sometimes have lots of appeal. They often start out small and slow. From faithfully observing the Lord's Day and keeping it holy. From faithfully attending Sunday school. Church activities. Bible studies, to letting other things, other activities interfere. Seemingly more necessary, more exciting, more appealing. And then what? Take it over. Little foxes. Growing up, getting bigger. And then there's rebellion. It's a deceptive word. Some may recall the days of civil disobedience, and even today, campus riots, strikes, and often are accompanied with violence and open hostility, bloodshed even, and always utter disrespect for lawful authority. Now, I think we all react to this and agree that's wrong, but rebellion, you know, it starts out quite small. But again, beware. Big foxes begin with little foxes. For instance, sometimes young people like to accept the challenge to bug the teacher or the bus driver or that crotchety old so-and-so. They don't do it all out in the open. Not going to stand up in front of the whole class and mouth off. Rather, make a noise underneath the desk. Or noises out of your mouth without showing anything. Maybe I'm dating myself somewhat. But messing up the monitoring system which controls the bell, and then find yourself with an extra free period. Anything that the teacher can't see or detect, letting a bird loose, letting a bird fly loose in the classroom, that's good for a few laughs. I'm sure that, you know, you could add some more pranks to this list. And while on the subject of education, we see education itself becoming a fox, a tool of Satan in many instances. Sex education classes are turning young children into perverts. Birth control, abortion, transgenderism, alternative lifestyle. Not only explained today, but defended. I trust you get the point. Little foxes don't seem so bad at first. Gosh darn. The gosh instead of God. The darn instead of Dan. Gee whiz instead of Jesus Christ. The Playboy magazine instead of the real thing. Telling half-truths or white lies still not always being able to see. Saving your parents by lying about what you're doing or where you're going. Talking back to your parents. Being a smart mom. Disrespecting your elders. Little boxes. On the way, becoming big boxes. And we might add one other area, very applicable. Many things in our lives which are not sinful in themselves, frankly, but which may become and can become the means by which we sin against God. How often have you heard that, hey, there's no sin in the television set? And, you know, I include here computers, iPads, iPhones, whole internet system. And it's right. Not sinful in themselves. And yet, the TV, the computer, the iPhone, the internet can become very much like a little fox. So innocent looking and sophisticated, attractive, smart. But beneath all that outward appearance is an electronic wizard containing resistors, transistors, all manner of scientific gadgetry developed by some human genius. Nonetheless, teaching moral or immoral values. They may teach us science. They may teach about world events or skills, so many different sports. They also may teach about the horrors of murder, hatred, lust, crime, whole world of iniquity. It can easily be a little fox that eventually becomes a big one. So many things. So many things. Books, magazines, musical instruments, recorders, iPads, iPhones, inventions of all kinds. Again, no sin in those things. But makes the difference, again, is how we use these things and what we do with them. If we use them to the glory of God, they're instruments of righteousness. If for sin, they're like foxes in the war. Now, beloved, in conclusion, it's not enough just to sigh and say, it's right. I should do something about this in my life. And that kind of attitude can bring you only closer to destruction. We have to catch those foxes, little or big, and remove them. Remove them from our lives. Now, to be sure, this is the business of the whole church and all those who are involved in the development of children and youth, parents, teachers, ministers, elders, guardians. Their responsibility. Young people must also realize this is their calling as well. Get rid of the foxes. Catch those foxes. The interest of protecting you, your parents, and others are commanded by God to rid you of these little foxes that become spiritually torn apart, and lest you become spiritually torn apart and ripped from the branches, from the vine. Little foxes can become deadly foxes. They must be taken and destroyed. And that's the responsibility of those who are put in charge of caring for the vineyard. Now, as our children get older, they have to handle many of these little foxes themselves. And it is in love that Christ, through Solomon, tells us, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for your vines have tender grapes. And beloved, we can also have confidence that God in His Christ, our great husband, is watching over and caring for His vineyard. His instructions are clear. These little foxes must be taken and destroyed. So, how good are you? How good are we? Possibly. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, I'm thankful again for this word. Pray that you will write it upon our hearts. Your word may be hidden in our hearts so that we do not sin against you. And that you will give us the grace. You will give us the wisdom. You'll give us the courage to catch the foxes, little or big, that are within us, that are in our vineyard. Lord, we know that you are the great husbandman, that you can also, oh God, give us that strength and that courage and that protection. Lord, we look to you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.